Well, how many of you excited about what God's doing? Had a baptism. How exciting is that on a Wednesday night? So we're going to celebrate that. Let's start with prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, we just thank you for all those praises that we just gave to you. And I pray they came from the bottom of our hearts, not from our eyes reading the screens. I pray that you really speak to us a word of peace and a word of comfort tonight. Pray for healing, deliverance. Father, you know the needs that have come into this place tonight, and you already know exactly what you're going to do. So we just ask you to move, Lord Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to begin in Colossians 4. And first, I need y'all to really pray for me tonight. I don't believe I'm sick. It's just Wednesday. Seriously. And it's so apropos. I just want to share some things with you tonight that I think are powerful and powerfully misunderstood about the Christian life. And so let me just begin by reading this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If you have a relationship with Jesus, I want to tell you something. You are a powerful person, not because of you, but because of Jesus. It says the power that we possess belongs to him. It's his, right? He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That is nothing more than preparation talk. Why? So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's preparation talk. Why is he saying that? I've kind of answered the question. This will be interactive. It's Wednesday. Why is he saying that? Why do we need to know that the devil's scheming? Now, this is going to be tough for some people. One, he's saying it because there is a devil. Two, because he is scheming. He is after you. Literally, every Wednesday, something goes haywire in my life. Why? Because I got to preach, yeah, you know, and it's not like God needs me. If something happens to me, anybody else could get up and preach. But the devil's hoping that it'll be me that gets up to preach because I'm so easily distracted. Because it takes so little for me to take my eyes off of Christ. So Wednesday comes, I wake up to crisis, something going on, my throat's sore, I don't feel good. And all the devil wants is for God not to be glorified tonight. That's what he wants. His desire is that God would not be glorified in your life. So Paul, I was reading out of Ephesians, Paul's preparing us for this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, because he wants you to know the devil is scheming. He would love for nothing more than to see you worship at some other altar other than the altar of God. We've talked about that. That's kind of been a theme through Colossians. I met with somebody this week. Their marriage is ending in divorce. And what do you do at that point, right? We're beyond the point where both of them are meeting. It's now only one that's showing up, only one that's fighting for the marriage, only one that wants it to all come back together, but it's just the one. And unless God does something miraculous, guess what's going to happen? Come on. They're going to be divorced. What I shared with this person this week is, here's the good news. God didn't create you for marriage. He didn't create you for someone else. And Satan's whole scheme in this wasn't ultimately to destroy your marriage. It was ultimately to rob you of the worship of God. That was the devil's scheme. That's what the devil was up to and is still up to in this person's life. Because he doesn't want us to worship God. He doesn't want our lives to bring glory to God. Paul knows, listen, this is what we were made for. This is why we were created. And he says, so be ready to stand against the devil's schemes. Now, the message tonight is not out of Ephesians chapter 6. But we'll begin rather in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Listen, we could just stop there because so few of us do this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Let me just tell you something. You may just feel like prayer's boring. Raise your hand. I knew there'd be not one taker because of the great amount of liars that come on Wednesday night. Prayer is so difficult for me. And my reasoning, my excuse for why prayer is difficult for me, and of course, I can only paint it in a way that would make me look good. Prayer is tough for me because I am a man of action. Because I want to do something. And you know why he says be devoted. And you know what? That's how most of us are. Most of us just, man, we'd rather be doing something. If there's a problem, don't you want to be doing something to fix it? I mean, no matter how long you've been married, guys, do we still find the inability just to shut up? Because we just think the next sentence is going to fix it. And it only makes it worse. She's back. But I just want to do something, right? I don't want to pray. I want to do something. I want to do something because, one, I feel like most of what's going on is my fault. And who am I to be worthy of another rescue by God? I don't deserve it. So tell you what, God, you sit this one out, and I'm gonna fix it. How many of you have had any luck fixing it? What do we always resort to? Finally, at the bitter end of this struggle, what is it? What does Paul say? Devote yourselves to prayer. If we believed that we had access, that we possessed, that was within us this incredible power, we would pray much more than we do. Devote yourselves to prayer. I read a poll. I can't remember now where or anything or to cite it or to give any credibility to what I'm about to tell you, but I read it somewhere. It may have been Wikipedia. I can't remember. But it said that the average, not Christian, but the average American, so many people polled that aren't Christians, many people polled that are, you know, follow other religions, you know, there was no targeting of Christians. But the average American prays less than 60 seconds a day. Now, I would imagine somewhere in that poll were Christians who participated, and I don't think that nobody else prayed and the Christians prayed for hours and it averaged out to less than 60 seconds. We just don't pray. Paul says, be devoted to prayer. And prayer is so difficult for us. I think for those very reasons. And yet, this is so important if we understood what's really going on in our lives. It's Ephesians 6, isn't it? That our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and authorities of this world of darkness. That this is a, that our lives, and I know this is going to freak some of you out. Some of you are never coming back. But here's the thing. This life is a spiritual battle for your worship. What will you worship? Satan wants us to worship him by feeding us our evil desires. How many of you have evil desires? Seven. Okay, more hands. Everybody waited first to see if anybody else was going to raise their hand. It, yeah, I always can count on you, sir. Thank you for your evil desires. And Satan just feeds that to us, doesn't he? Doesn't he always put before your eyes what you don't need to see? And doesn't he always whisper in your ears what you don't need to hear? Doesn't he do that? And he just feeds those evil desires, those evil impulses. He just does that. Because this is a spiritual battle. And he does, listen, let me tell you something. Everybody look up here. I'll get on this step so you can see me. He, thank you. He doesn't care about your marriage. But he will crush it if it will make you take your eyes off Jesus. Because ultimately, his care isn't for your marriage. Matter of fact, if you're single, he would love for nothing else than just for you to see that guy or that girl who gives no credence to Jesus Christ. And he would love for you to be happily married to that person. You know who I'm talking about? Come on, girls. You know who I'm talking about. That guy that you meet and you say, do you go to church? And he says, yeah. Yeah. Where do you go? Here and there. And then you start dating him, and he's so faithful. He'll never miss. He'll be there all the time. And you won't see any other fruit out of his life except his attendance. He doesn't mind if you pray together as long as you do the praying, right? Three girls are like, we met him. Why do you let him come here? Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Listen, I've told you forever, God is after you. If you're a follower of Jesus, God is after you. He wants you to be everything that he's created you to be. Amen? The devil is after you too. And it is a spiritual battle. And once Christ comes into your life, once he saves you, you have a target on your back. And Satan is after you. And he wants everything in your life to fail so that maybe you'll blame God. He wants everything in your life to be a disaster. So at some point you're like, you know what? Where is he? And for us to become discouraged, right? And whisper those words of guilt that we still want to feel even though we've been saved. Because the Bible says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To those who are saved. That every sin Jesus took upon himself, you are forgiven. But Satan whispers to you that you only think you're free. But you're still bound up. And if that doesn't work, then he gets specific, doesn't he? And he whispers those things that only a few people could know. Maybe only that you know, and he whispers them to you, and he says, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. And then he says, and I'm going to tell everybody. And what's the last thing we want to do? Pray. It's the last thing we want to do because that guilt begins to set in. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Why? Because when you pray, God speaks to you the truth. Right? Like the song. How's the song? The Casting Crown song? What is it? The voice of truth tells me a different story. A different story than the one Satan's telling. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So devote yourselves to prayer, but be watchful. Because the enemy, the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's after you, so be watchful. But also be thankful. You see, as a Christian, Satan cannot possess you. Why? Now listen, this is gets really misunderstood. Satan cannot possess you because you are already somebody else's possession. If you are saved, you belong to Jesus. You are His. However, on this life, you can be tormented and will be tormented. Because Satan does not want us to walk with Jesus. He does not want us to be close to Jesus. So Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, knowing that the enemy is after you. What does it mean to be watchful? Well, today, my temptation has been, several of you are here that I've complained to all day long about this cough I've got. My throat is sore. I don't feel good. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow probably and feel like Superman. Why? Because it's Thursday. Oh, but today is Wednesday. And I get discouraged. And I start thinking, God, won't you just let me feel good? Man, God, if I'm feeling good, I'll get up there and rock it tonight. And then I learned that God gave me the sore throat so that He could rock it, right? Be devoted, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Watch, because somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to speak a word about you, write a word about you that's untrue or true. Either way, it's simply a distraction. So watch. Because some of you are here tonight, and if you were honest, you were so angry at somebody else. But the Bible says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, which is flesh and blood, which are other people. People, right? We're flesh and blood. You flesh and blood? Flesh and blood. It's people. Our battle's not against people. Our battle is not against others. No matter how righteous you may think your argument is, our battle always is against the enemy. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So there's a quick word. Paul's saying, be devoted in prayer. Understand what's really going on here, what's really happening. Be watchful. Be thankful. And in the midst of that, he throws in a prayer request for himself. Pray for us that God will open the door for our message. Paul, listen, this is my take on this, okay? If this is a good enough message for us to pray for Paul, it is a good enough message for us to pray for ourselves that God would open for us a door to proclaim the gospel, which is the mystery of Christ, which Paul says, for which I am in chains. It's a powerful thing. And it is a prayer request. And immediately he goes right back into instruction. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Be wise. Now, doesn't this just keep cropping up in Colossians, how we treat each other, the way we relate to each other? Doesn't it just keep coming up? I mean, why didn't we hear all about wives and how they should relate to their husbands, and husbands, how they should relate to their wives, and husbands, again, how they should relate to their children, right? Slaves, how they should relate to their masters. Masters, how they should relate to their slaves. Because all in all of us have a master, and his name is Jesus. And so once again, and we're getting close to just kind of parting words from Paul to the Colossians. But he says, be careful. Be wise. That's the word he uses. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Isn't that interesting? Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise in the way that we relate. You all know this is no secret. I sit up there till, you know, a little bit after the service starts. I just sit on the balcony and I watch, and I watch you all come in, and you can always tell some happy groups come in together, right? And man, they've had a great day, and you know, and they're talking and hugging, right? And they kind of sit together, and then you see a couple come in, and it's, you can tell right away they're struggling, right? Why? Because she's walking like 20 feet in front of him, and he's going like this. You see folks come in by themselves, and I never know. I don't know everybody's story. I don't know why somebody comes. Something going on in their life. They're just early and they're waiting on somebody, right? I don't know. But I just watch y'all, and I pray that we take this to heart. That we'd be wise in the way that we act toward outsiders. And make the most of every opportunity that we have. Because no doubt where you work, somebody is an outsider. Somebody's new, right? Somebody's out of favor with everybody at the workplace. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, don't point. At you. We're praying for you. But don't you, you know that, right? Have you ever been an outsider? Have you ever been the one out of favor? How fun is that? And when you were that outsider, when you were that one out of favor, weren't you incredibly open to just somebody being a friend? I mean, don't we quickly, when we're the outsider, lose our qualification of our quality of friend? Because we just want somebody. Just somebody to sit with at lunch. Somebody to go to lunch with. Right? In the workplace. And we know what it feels like, right? And it's a picture of the gospel. Because every one of us here at some point, we were an outsider. And Jesus came to us. And he saved us. He forgave our sins. And Paul is teaching here, we were created for so much more than just living and dying. He created us for a reason and for a purpose. And so he says to this group of Christians, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I love on Wednesdays or Sundays, inevitably you meet somebody, right? Somebody will bring somebody up here after church is over and say, hey, I want you to meet so-and-so. They just started working for our company or started working at our place. Or they're a new student and just wanted you to meet them. And it was just somebody that met somebody at work and they just invited them to come. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And ultimately, we know this. We're not inviting somebody to church. What are we inviting people to? To Jesus. That's right. But most of us, Paul's writing this, and I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, and I know a lot of you have the look in your eye of, okay, move on. And I know why you do. We just don't do this. Gosh, we are so comfortable where we are. We're so comfortable in our routines. We are so comfortable in the way we do it. Man, if we sit beside that outsider at work, it's going to change everything at work. That I've worked so hard to get to this spot. I sit on the fourth seat now, right? And I've worked hard to sit on the fourth seat. And this is going to disrupt everything. That person who's out of favor with everybody else, what are they by definition? They're an outsider. And Paul says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, no matter what it might cost you. And I'm spending time here because many of us simply do not do these things that Paul is saying. This is the last chapter. Does everybody realize that? Does everybody realize that? It's the last chapter. He's kind of wrapping up, right? And so he's just saying, hey, let me leave you with just these few important things. Here they are. Devote yourselves to prayer. Wow, that's a big one. Because we don't pray much. He says, be watchful. Because the enemy is after you. So be careful. Every temptation can seize you. Right? So watch. Understand. Understand that at the root of your conflicts is not another person, but it's the enemy seeking to destroy who God desires for you to be. So be watchful. Be thankful. You know why? Because you're blessed. There should have been a huge amen there. You are blessed. You are blessed. I did. Be watchful, be thankful. The enemy is after you. You are indeed blessed. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always. Everybody hear that? Always. Let your conversation be always full of grace. For final things, I feel like he's just throwing huge rocks on me. Because these final things aren't simple. They are not easy. These are the big deals. Let your conversation always be full of grace. Why is this one of the final things? Because for many of us, our conversations aren't full of grace. So are they? I prayed that somebody would go out and get me some water. I don't know who buys these cups, but apparently we got them out of the preschool department. Thank you. That was very gracious, like what we're talking about right now. Always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always full of grace, that we would speak grace into people's lives. And in this sense of let our conversation be full of grace, it could mean kindness. But it's more specific than kindness. Why? Because it says grace. What is grace? Say it, Will King, real loud. Grace is unmerited favor. So do you know what grace means? I get what I don't deserve. So let your conversation always be full of grace. So that we're kind even if somebody else has been unkind. And we speak blessing, even if what's been spoken to us is curse. Why? Why? Just a real simple answer. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says this is how we should live. This is what our lives should look like. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, this final thing in verse 6, so that you may know how to answer everyone, it doesn't mean that you will always have the answer. Okay, does everybody understand that? This is real important. I'm going to spend 1 minute on it, and then we're going to have altar. It doesn't mean you know all the answers. What does it say? You may know how to answer everyone. And you only know how to answer everyone if your conversations are always full of grace and seasoned with salt. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth, right? The light of the world, right? That's who we are as the people of Christ. And so this is a final challenge that Paul is giving. He has some other things to say. We'll cover them in the next couple of weeks. But I want you to hear these as final words. Devote yourselves to prayer. All that we would be a people that pray. All that we'd be a people that pray. And I want to tell you that we would be a people who would pray, that if your prayer life increases, and I have to tell you this because it's the truth, if your prayer life increases, so will the attacks upon your life, because Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want you in that intimate of a relationship with Jesus. He'd much rather have you chasing after all kinds of earthly things. He'd much rather you run back to the old life, to the old conversations, to all the old things. So if you devote yourselves to prayer, the attacks increase. Be forewarned. But know this, Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. He created you for himself. He didn't create you for anybody else. He didn't create you for anything else. He created you for himself. I spoke this past weekend at this big, well, it wasn't big, but this missions kind of conference. And it was a buddy of mine that put it on. And I don't know, it was missional is kind of a big word that everybody's using. And so I just told him, and we're close friends. We've known each other for a long, long time. And I said, dude, you know I'm preaching the anti-missional message tonight, don't you? He said, I figured you'd do something like that. And I just talked about how, you know, we love to hear that we were made for a mission. But you can do all kinds of things without Jesus. You will never be truly missional until you're relational. Until your relationship with Jesus is so strong that there's nothing you wouldn't do for him. And as long as you're not devoted in your prayer life, you'll never be willing to go to the depths that Jesus wants to take you. We'll never be strong enough for the enemy's attacks. We'll always succumb to them. We'll always give in. We'll always go back. So devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful, being thankful. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Would you bow your heads? if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never asked him to come into your life to forgive you of your sin, and it's something you're just kind of thinking about tonight, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and put it right back down real quick. I'm the only one looking, okay? Okay? Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I want to tell you this powerful thing about Jesus, and that's this. Only he can save you. And the Bible teaches us that when he saves us, he forgives us of all of our sin. That we're completely forgiven because of him. Because his blood was shed on the cross, we can be forgiven. We're going to have a time of altar. Everybody look up. Several of you raised your hand and said it was something you were considering. And I would tell you that if anything in your heart tonight is telling you that you need to be saved, only Jesus can do that. And so there's going to be a lot of folks come to the altar tonight to pray. If you raised your hand saying, I know that I need Christ in my life, I'm going to ask you just to come, and one of us pastors would love to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to give me a few minutes tonight. This was a lot, but I just want us to be focused during this time. So let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.